Shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, we stand before you this morning, Lord, remembering your goodness, remembering your mercy, remembering your grace, and your loving kindness to every one of us. And that's what made it possible for us to be here in your house this morning. Lord, many love to be alive today, but they could not make it. But we are grateful. Thank you for fighting our battles for us. We bless you. Thank you for this past week, your cares over our lives, provision of our needs. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blessings of your word. Thank you for so many ways, Lord, that we have seen you in our situations. Lord, we are grateful. This past week, there have been testimonies that you have given us that have added to our faith and our trust and confidence in you, the living God, that you can never fail. We are grateful to you. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the deliverances. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for provision of our needs. Lord, in so many ways. Lord, we bless you. We know that you that did that for us this past week. We know you are more than able, Lord, to care for all our needs this week that has just started today. We are grateful to you. As your children, we are here, Lord, full of needs that only you can meet. And so we pray that you will put us in the condition and atmosphere that we might be partakers of the abundant blessings you have in store today. Lord, help us, Heavenly Father. Give us grace to surrender ourselves. You don't force any man, the Lord, but anyone who is seeking your help, for everyone helps only those who cannot help themselves. Lord, may we find grace to surrender. Heavenly Father, while others you are blessing, Lord, may you not pass us by. Lord, have your way, Father. Lord, the promises that you have made when your people are gathered together to be partakers of your redemptive blessings. May none of us, Lord, be cheated out of it today. May our blessings, our cups be full and run over. Oh God, that at the end of the services of today, the Sunday school, morning and evening services, Lord, our blessings will have been full. All glory and honor will be yours, Lord. Because you know, we know you will fill with the Holy Spirit. You will deliver the captives. You will heal the sick. You will take the sick to higher ground. You will inspire our faith. Lord, that your word, your promises might be quickened in our lives. Let it be eternal, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you for our brother who went through operation yesterday and for the success of it. Lord, we pray for him that you give him quick recovery. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Please, let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. As we begin a new topic, 2 Peter chapter 3. You will have to bear with me. We will have to read it from the beginning to the end, for that is what the prophet read. Though I give us excuse at the point, and then after that we read Revelation chapter 21. 2 Peter chapter 3, we read from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can slackness, but his long sufferings to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the hearth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You can please be seated. And as we continue reading, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. We read the first 7 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts. God bless you. By the grace of God, we shall be fellowshipping around this world, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. It's a very lengthy sermon, so it's been on my mind for some time. So, but I've not been able to come to a conclusion about it. So, just yesterday evening, I came to that conclusion. God bless you. I had some other things I wanted to, but when that are settled, I said, okay, it is time for this. God bless you. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. That is the title. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. I have some few background things to read before we go into the sermon proper. Let me read from paragraph 52 of the sermon. All right. Let's take it from there. Now we understand here that these two scriptures, the reason I read 2 Peter, the third chapter, and compare it with Revelation chapter 21, they both here are speaking the same subject. But John never wrote it out like Peter did. See, they wrote it in different ways. John was brief about it and was detailed in an aspect and was brief in the other aspect. But Paul gave us Peter gave us the detail in an aspect, and it was brief about the new heaven. It was brief about the new heaven. But it was detailed about what was going to transpire about the new earth coming. You know. But John was more detailed about the new heaven. The new heaven that is coming down. So praise be to God. Yeah. We understand that this great home of the bride is to be here on earth. Yes. And now if you read just the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the apostle here said, or the prophet said, that I saw a new heaven and a new heart. Sounds like there comes an annihilation. Let's leave that there. Okay. It says, we understand that this great home of the bride is to be here on earth according to Revelation chapter 21. We understand that. Okay. The heavenly bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The earthly bride comprises the born-again ones. Right from the first church age. Right from Genesis. Because it's the home for the bride. And the bride of Christ has started from Genesis. Amen. This reminds us, because for this to be a home for Jesus Christ and the bride, as we have previously said, that it shows to all a marriage. We are a husband and wife, we live together. And this is throughout eternity. Which your home, my home, as married people, is an example. Praise be to God. It's an example. There has been a union between you. There's a process of union between you and your spouse before you could come together to live together. Are you with me? Are you with me? I had very scanty response, which means many minds are not here. Yes. And if I ask a question, I will know you will confirm that I know many minds are not here. I am a teacher, even the secular one. Praise be to God. There have been a process before you and your spouse came together, and you are now living in the same house. Because what we are considering is future home of the heavenly bridegroom. Okoyawo to wa lorun. That's the Yoruba abi. Okoyawo to gbe orun. Ati yawo to wa laye. The heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. So the earthly bride comprises the born again ones, starting from the Old Testament up to the last age that we are in. Every predestinated of God is a union. And that is why the prophet preached a sermon later on in 1965. Talking about the invisible union of the bride of Jesus Christ. The invisible union of the bride of Jesus Christ. Which means it's a union, but it's not visibly seen. They don't see you work together with your spouse as I take my wife and we go out together, even in courtship. If people take notice of it, when people are in the courtship, you take note. Because you see a little more closeness than usual. Though it is not announced to everybody, but people who can had one-to-one may understand that. When you see a brother and a sister moving together, you know, constantly, often, you know it's a courtship that is going on. Which wasn't so like that before. But it might not lead to marriage. So this union is an invisible one between Christ and the individual which comprises the bride. And it is these people with whom Christ is united that we have this heavenly home that we are talking about. For us to be more solid, we just want to keep us posted, to present it to us, to show it to us. Perhaps it might create more hunger and thirst in our hearts, you know, for a closer walk with God, for a better understanding of your position in this journey that we are called to as pilgrims. Praise be to God. It is a union that is taking place, and that union is an invisible one. And that union starts when an individual recognizes their sins and they come to the knowledge of the way out of it. Which the way out of it is accepting Jesus as your Savior by repenting of your sins. The prophet said, the proof that you have genuinely repented is that you go for water baptism. And after water baptism, then you become a candidate that is fit for the Holy Ghost baptism. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost in your soul, then you are invisibly united with Jesus Christ. And nobody sees it. A brother and a sister are united. Others may not see it. But what will they see in the bride? They will see a ring. Engagement. That they are now united. They are engaged. This is the, that this sister has a head that is going to take her, you know, the day they have fixed for their wedding. It's the same thing. It's an invisible union between the individual and Christ.
So it is you that knows.
I mean, it's you that know.
It is the other person that knows. And if I say I'm filled with that spirit, I know it. If you say you are filled with that spirit, you know it. It is not somebody that will come and confirm you that you are united with Christ. For the prophet told us that there are three things we don't tell people. Number one, you cannot tell them who their wives are. You cannot, there is no authority of the Bible to let you do that. You'll be walking on your own way to tell somebody this is your wife. The best you can do, if it is revealed to you as somebody who God wants to use to confirm it, you keep quiet and you pray along with the person until the person strikes it. And when the person strikes it, then it's a confirmation of what you have seen. Outside of that, you are walking as of the will of God. You can't tell any person this is your husband, this is your wife. He must struggle it out. She must struggle it out. Because it's a life of responsibility. You are going to live with that person the rest of your days. People who allow people to lure them into saying, marry this, marry that. Well, it's up to them. And tell them that this is your... I saw it in a dream. If you see it in the dream, you see it in the vision, you keep quiet. Yes. Until the person who you have seen, until both of them are united. And if they are not united, then you have seen a wrong spirit is on you. A misleading spirit is on you. Because if the person has taken to your advice, then you'll be going opposite direction of God's way. That's one of them. Then the second one is that you cannot tell somebody that they are called to the ministry. Well, you might find in a scripture where Abraham did certain thing, he's not given to any of us to do that. He's the messenger of the age. There are some realms that God has used him and he operated that none of us can reach. And after all, he's the one that told us you don't tell people that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't tell them that this is their wife. You don't tell them this is their call to the ministry. So you don't tell somebody that you are called to the ministry, the nature of your ministry. Let him struggle it out. Let him struggle, let him pray through and know his ministry. Out of the fivefold, he must identify. And the characteristics must prove this is the ministry this person is proclaiming. It's not to be confusing. It has to be constantly that ministry every time. Because that's the proof that this is the ministry that this person is professing. Well, I didn't wish to talk along this line, but when we surrender ourselves for inspiration, God talks to us anyhow. What is the gift? The prophet said is the ability to surrender yourself. And so you don't tell somebody he's called to the ministry. If he faces a problem tomorrow, he will run back to you. And the same thing with marriage. When you strike God's hand in the aspect of marriage, when you encounter a problem tomorrow, you won't run to mama or papa. You won't run to any minister. You will go back to God who show you that this is your husband. Who show you that this is your wife. You have the solution before the problem came. Come on the scene. But you not be confident to face God if you are led by somebody to choose a particular person. And then the third one is that you don't tell somebody that is filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophet said, I will believe that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but I cannot swear to it. You know what that means? I will believe your testimony. But to now come and swear that it is true that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the prophet said, I cannot do it. It is you that will know it. You are going to be the one to struggle it out. You have to make your calling and election sure. It's not somebody that is going to give you pass mark. This brother is a Christian. Oh, we can say it. But he may not be. Because he might be an impersonator. That's the truth. Might be an impersonator. So that is why Brother Sam on Sunday was studying. You don't make anybody an example. Of course, that's what the prophet has taught us. Jesus Christ, the prophet, has shown us the way Jesus Christ will live if he came back in the flesh, in our age.
And so we follow after him. He's our grand example that we see today. You look at his actions, you look at the reactions in the rest of every other thing that he did. But the word of God is our major example because Abraham followed the word. That is why you can follow me as I follow Christ. God bless you. So, it is a union, physical, invisible union between you and Christ. So, the only evidence of it that people will see, just as it is in the physical, that the only evidence people will see that this sister is already engaged is the ring in her hand. Engagement ring. So, the only thing people will see in me that I am already united with Christ, though it's not written on my head, it will not make me more handsome, it will not make me uglier, it will not make me taller, it won't make me fairer, it won't make me darker, it won't make me shorter. It won't change my physical stature, but it has changed my soul. Now, what people will see is that they will now see the way that I live. The utterances of my mouth, my reactions, my actions to people, to the insiders, to those within, and to those without. My actions to those within and to those without must be the same. If it's the Holy Spirit that is in me, you know why? It does not vary. It doesn't vary. It's the same. It is not to behave as a Christian to the Christian brother, and when you go out there, you become like a lion. When an unbeliever says, in the midst of one believer, you blend when they are talking and you are relating with them. When you come to church, you become pious, religious. That's an impersonation. So the only evidence that people will see that you as a Christian, a sister that is engaged does not go out and say that I'm engaged. See my ring. Does it go out like that? She doesn't go out telling everybody. Oh, as long as she passes and they notice the ring in her, though initially when she's still engaged, she will be swinging it for people to see. She will swing it for people to see, especially when she's passing. When she's passing the brother, I thought you wanted to say the time is up. She will be swinging it. But the time comes, she will get used to it. And then she just balance her hands. So, the only way people will know she's engaged is this. And the only way people will know that we already united with Christ by the Holy Ghost baptism is the life that we live before the people. The life of the Spirit that we claim is inside of us. And these people that are representing Christ here, they are the ones that have the assurance that they are united with Christ. They have the assurance that they are going to, that heavenly, the future home is meant for them.
Praise be to God. All right. Let's move forward. That same psalm. Give us. We'll continue from paragraph 53. We are laying the background.
And now if you will read, just like chapter 20, 21st of Revelation, the apostle here said, or the prophet said, that I saw the new heaven and a new heart. Sounds like there comes an annihilation. Now, the prophet, now I want to read this part to get us more established, to get some questions answered in our hearts, to douse doubts that might be in the hearts of many people. The message that we are following today, which we call the Word of God, Malachi 4 message, it is not a theology of Brother Abraham. It's not Brother Abraham's theology. It's not his theory. It's not his personal doctrine, thing that he personally believes. Are you following me? There are not things that he passed, that is what I personally believe. There were things that were the truth of the Almighty God revealed to him, which he believed, because they were revealed to him.
They were not his ideas. They were not his opinions. Now, the way Abraham brought this message, this particular message that we are looking at, he told us here how he got it. And which is how he got all the summons of this. Now, this time will not permit us. Let us continue. Now, way I always find my message is by prayer. I'll be sitting in prayer and something is revealed to me, and I wait on it a few minutes and see if it is right. Then I feel it closer. And then sometimes I keep waiting till it breaks into a vision, a sermon that is going to prepare. There's none of the five quotes that can do that. We take from what has been given. We only warm it by prayer. After we have felt led to pick a certain sermon, then we go to God in prayer. If this is what you want to feed your people with, Lord, send your blessing. The minister consecrates himself, dedicates himself in order to be a blessing. Because he's called to do that as a vessel of honor. And then he surrenders himself, knowing that he has a gift. By God's grace, then he surrenders. After he has done the little he can do. So the prophet says he will be something will come to his mind, as we have read. And then sometimes I keep waiting till it breaks into a vision. But when it begins to come, and I'm satisfied it comes from God, then I go to the scripture. You know, there's a special gift given to him. Even without looking at the scripture, he has a gift of discernment greater than the gift of discernment. I mean, you know the gift of discernment I'm saying? That made him to know any spirit that operated. You remember the Mishawaka experience? He wasn't yet a Christian by that time. What I mean is that he was not yet a Christian. He hasn't known much by that time. He has not come to the Pentecostal by that time. He came into the midst of the people in Mishawaka and he saw how two brothers were speaking in God and the other one was interpreting. And one of them was a genuine Christian, as he told us. He said, "You know, there is a gift resident in me." He said, I went to the other person. You know, when you have a gift, you know it. And then he went to them. He said, after the meeting was over, he quickly ran. He wanted to know the type of spirit that was operating in both of them. And when he got to them, he said he shook hands with the first one. He said it was a sound Christian. He said it was a perfect Christian. He ran to the other one. He said when a vision broke before him, he was looking at the life of the man that has lived in the past. Yet, he was using it. So that is why we say the use of gifts, preaching, and every other thing that somebody can do is not a mark that somebody is going to heaven or that he's a Christian. It is the life of Jesus Christ reflecting in that person. Proving that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So the prophet was able to identify that. So he said, when I'm satisfied that thing comes from God, before consulting the scripture, he will know it. Now, in Mishawaka, did he go to the scripture before he knew the wrong spirit was upon this man? But while he was there, he said a witness was in him. That made him to know that the spirit that was falling was genuine spirit of God. He said he knew that this is God's spirit. Wow, this is wonderful. By that gift that was in him, he was able to know. And then he hunted after the two of them and discovered that. And that's what baffled him. I said, what? This man that is operating the genuine gift is an hypocrite. He has a wife at home and another woman that has a baby. Was he blonde? A baby with a blonde head or whatever? Abraham said he told the man. The man said that he didn't care about it. He said, leave that one. He said, have you got the Holy Spirit? Go and get her. Abraham said, I'm not going to get her. The type of spirit you have, I don't want it. This is your life. Now, the sermon, the anointed ones at the end time solved the problem for us. It is the same Holy Spirit, but falling into different realms. He fed into the spirit of the guy that was an hypocrite, but into the soul of the other fellow. Because Abraham said he was a perfect Christian. He was a brother Christian. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit being in your soul. He's the only hypocrite, is the one that the Spirit will fall in his spirit, the anointing of the Spirit in his spirit, operating what the journey Christian can operate in terms of gifts. Balaam was one. The gift that he showed that it was not 40. Only he was a false preacher. He taught wrong. That one made him a false prophet. But for his gift, it was a good gift. Everything he said about Israel is still coming to pass today. Praise be to God. And yet, he was a false prophet. Jesus Christ spoke about him. We Balaam taught Balak to deceive the children of Israel. He was a false teacher. Amen. But when he begins to come, and I'm satisfied that it's come from God, then I go to the scripture. See, that ought to be the confirmation of every spiritual thing that is done. You see what the prophet is telling us? The Bible has to be the foundation. But today, it has to be the message of the hour that will tell you whether what you have seen, what you have heard, whatever thought that comes to your mind, the impression, the feelings, everything, it is the message that will tell you whether I come from God or not. May the Lord be our help. By God's grace, we continue next week. God bless you. You can bow down your head.
Shall we pray? Our blessed Lord, we thank you for today. Be the day of commemoration, the day you rose from the dead. Thank you, Father, for Lord, since we left here on Wednesday, you'll be with us, you've guided us, you met our needs, you fought our battles, you did all these things for us. You have brought us together again today to continue your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for a portion of your word, the future hope of the heavenly bridegroom, the earthly bride. Father, thank you for the titles alone spell out exactly what your prophet has in mind, what you reveal unto him. We pray, Master Savior, that as many as have gotten the revelation, they are part and parcel of this bride. Lord, may you continue to strengthen them. Those that have not gotten this revelation, Lord Jesus, it comes only from you and from you alone. Don't bypass any law. We look unto you that you continue to help each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant that you have used to bring this message this morning. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Replenish him for the virtue that has left him. As we lead the rest of the services into your hands. In Jesus' most holy name, we have prayed with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen.